Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope you had a great weekend. I did. And I also hope that you're enjoying the change of weather. I think that in many cases, I know this is a huge continent and it's a huge country. So there are, there are a lot of different, if you want to call them microclimates, but that actually qualifies as several macroclimates. And so I'm hoping that you're beginning to enjoy the spring weather, or spring has sprung, in at least where I live, and I'm hoping that you're getting a taste of it, if not getting a taste of it soon. I will be going into the Kentucky resolutions and the Virginia resolutions and tying this all together with what the heck's going on in Congress and how these hypocrites, evil hypocrites, are pounding their chests, calling, you know, that they need to protect the Constitution, while they're using the Constitution as a shield, and they're shredding and trampling upon it as they do so. And so I will get into that a little bit later, because I know that everybody is chomping at the bit. And some of this has to do with what the heck's going on in Congress, such as the veto and so forth. And so we'll get into that, because this all dovetails. But there's some other marketing out there that we also need to talk about. And I kind of want to get into some subjects that have kind of bubbled up, that all this all goes to supporting everything I've been saying. I hate to be the one that sits behind the microphone and says, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. And so I'm really trying not to do that. What I want to do is I want to repeat, reinforce, and support these paradigms that I am putting out there, so that, you know, I don't come across as, you know, trying to pound my own chest. As a matter of fact, I think it doesn't take a genius to start actually recognizing what the heck is going on. Once you've become attuned to the reality of life, instead of living and seeing things as we have been indoctrinated to think, because that's the key. I think once people start, because there's other people out there that are starting to state and say some of these things, but it's not far enough. It hasn't permeated through society where the epiphany hasn't popped to where there's enough in the minority to start shouting, you know, shouting down the insanity. So let me get back to what I usually do at this point. As you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And as you also know, you are listening to the only show that gets into the solutions. We talk about tangible solutions. We do not care about just trying to go after the symptoms of the problem. We have a real cancer among us. And if we do not start changing our environment and how we are functioning as a society, and these aren't necessarily drastic, but these are tangible changes that have to occur. And if we can do that, and I'm not saying that this is a difficult thing to do, it's just something, it's the thing that some people just don't want to, you know, grow up. They just don't want to stop sucking their thumb. They don't want to give up their whatever you want to call their binky whoopee or whatever. I'm telling you that it's time to grow up, America. It's time to actually face our, you know, what our real problems are. And I'll get into more of that in just a minute, but let me not derail myself. Now, as I have been saying, and I'm actually going down this path because there's just so many things on my plate, and it's really hard to be able to do a live show. And because I know there's lots of you that want to call in and say things or what have you, please send me your email comments. For your ability to call in and be able to get through with a pile of stuff I've got to go through, it's going to be difficult. And so I'm not abandoning you, but because it's not like my listening audience has gotten to a point where they feel they can trust me. But if you actually listen to the times when people have called, I treat people civilly. I don't tell them that you need to thank me for your call and that kind of crap. I'm not here to beat you up. I don't believe I have all the answers, but I have one big, huge flaw, and I'll tell you what it is. I like being right. So before I actually put something out there, I want to make sure I'm right. Every once in a while, I may be wrong. But that's every once in a while, and it's becoming less and less as I get older, because as you go, oh boy, I was wrong on that, and I will not be so quick in saying those types of things. You learn, right? So if you want to get onto the show, if you want to call in, give me a heads up. Send me an email saying, hey, I'm listening down here in Houston. I'm listening in the Carolinas or wherever you are. And you would like to call in, I will, you know, make sure that you have the time to call in, just because this is an hour show. I'm hoping that by the end of the year, we're doing a 2-hour, and hopefully maybe by, you know, within the next year or so, doing a 3-hour show. What I want to do is I want to expand and bring on I don't want to say a local host, but bring on fellow hosts that are in the areas of the Southern California, as well as in the areas of maybe the Midwest, Ohio, somewhere in there, to where, you know, there's a lot of paradigms that are different, because the cultures are different as you move from one spot. As we fled California, my wife and I fled California, and when we got to the community that we moved into, we were blown away, because people weren't looking at us like, what are you looking at? And, you know, there was just this inherent trust, and people were inherently friendly. People may be a little bit crude. They may not have the refinements of, you know, a culture society, but that's okay. They're friendly and they're nice. They, you know, they're quick to apologize if they've offended you. But I mean, this is a great community. We should have moved sooner. There's no doubt in my mind. We would have been better off had we left sooner rather than later. So with that, let me kind of jump into the typical, because you know it's coming, right? I'm going to grovel a little bit. And I do want to say this, that I've been engaging and I'm working with a few different people in a few different states. I'm trying to get things rolling, as because you know things are moving forward in Wyoming. Trying to get things rolling in Idaho, Utah, and as of late, West Virginia. I'm going to start reaching into, I think, Arkansas, as well as a couple of other red states, Oklahoma. If you're an Oklahoma listener, reach out. If you're in any of these dark red states, the top 6 red states, and what are they? It would be Wyoming, South Dakota, Idaho, Utah, and I believe it's Oklahoma, then Arkansas. And so I believe those are the top 6. If you live in any of those states and you want to start leading, then let me know. Just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will help you. I will help do research. I will show you what you have to do and when you need to do things and so forth. It's not a lot of work. But what little work you do can really save us and actually help us start making the necessary connections to not just you as a leader, but connecting you with I'll just call them visible leaders, people that have put themselves out there. But that doesn't mean they're a leader. That means that they could be just a manager and they're managing agendas or what have you. And if they are, we'll get them replaced. If they are, we will work to get rid of rhinos. We are going rhino hunting. And in 2020, we want to make rhinos extinct in your state. We need your help. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we will help you start at least the beginning of the hunt in 2020. You may not be able to knock one of them down, but you'll start laying the groundwork. I guarantee you, if you start laying the groundwork, rhinos will become extinct in your state. That's how confident I am. Did I tell you I like being right? There you go. And you will find out that I am right in what we're doing. Another way you can support us, because we really do need funds. I mean, the Lord's bless us, but we just don't have the money to be able to suck up all the travel, because I'm going to have to travel to some of these states. And so that gets kind of costly. So all I'm asking is to help share that burden with you. And if you're looking for blessings, I know that when you contribute to good causes, I believe this is a good cause, then you're more than welcome to obtain, because I'm not trying to hoard the blessings, but I'm just trying to not subsidize the entire revolution. I can't afford to do that. And if you're contributing to anything else, I would just ask you this. Does it guarantee you a restoration of your liberties? Does it guarantee you to protecting your Constitution? Does it actually provide you? It may provide you with a tax deduction. You don't have to give that kind of money where you're, you know, literally sheltering a portion of the money you've given for a tax shelter. And especially with the way the new standard deductions are, there's very few people. Like, I mean, you got to be really well to do. And at that point, if you're making that kind of money that the standard deductions aren't helping you, well, good on you. And I'm glad. But you're more than welcome to call in as far as sending me a note and getting on the show, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And we will talk about the other organizations that are worthy of support when we come back right after this. As you can tell, I'm at a hard break. I didn't realize that the time slid by. So we will be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so you know there are a couple of good organizations out there that are doing what they can in supporting the Constitution and trying to help drain the swamp. First off, it is the Constitution Club. If you have not become a member, I pray, I ask, I beseech you to become a member of this organization. Just go join the Constitution Club at theconstitutionclub.ning.com and sign up, become a member in your county and state, identify, you know, drill yourself down, and that way you can start working with people that you may not know or you may know, and start assisting in sending emails out to these critical states like Utah and so forth. And you'll be getting these newsletters from Mr. Keith Broders himself on giving you some really good information regarding representation. I think I'll make a point of sharing some of that stuff that he sent out so I can give you for where you are in your state as far as how well you are represented, because he's actually sat down and done the math on, you know, how well represented you are and how not well represented you are. Now, the other organization, as you know, because I had Aaron on the show as well, and it is ourfirstright.org. Go check them out. The information for them, as well as the Constitution Club with Keith Broders, is on the Reclaiming the Republic website. It's either on my other links and or on my Red State Talk Radio podcast page. So go check it out. Get involved. You don't even have to get involved with me. You can get involved with these folks. These are good folks trying to make our representation and trying to take back the representation we're supposed to have at the state level for the 17th Amendment and just down to the principles of ensuring that we have a representative government. And there's no way a person representing a 750,000 people is truly representing you. That's why these folks are becoming millionaires. Nothing wrong with that if they're doing it on their own, but somehow, just as the only thing they're doing is being a representative, and they're making millions. If you start looking at when these folks joined and how much money they're making today, and why is Pelosi such a, you know, or Maxine Waters, what are they doing that has that kind, has amassed that kind of wealth? Kathy McMorris Rodgers on the Republican side. Go look at how she started out and what she amasses as her wealth today. Where did this come from when this is all they're doing on a $170,000 a year salary? How can they amass that kind of wealth? And they're doing it at our expense, and they're giving themselves, they're writing unconstitutional legislation that protects them from the laws that they are putting us under. There's definitely a problem with that. And you should have a problem with that. That's why we need to start getting active one way or another. Please, we don't have time, as you know. Let me just say this as well. I didn't say this in a little while, and I know that. So let me thank you for tuning in. Thank you for letting people know that there's actually a show that talks about solutions. And so please continue that. Continue the growth. It is about getting the message out. I would love to retire. As I was looking at it in our strategy, if we are moving forward in 2020, and it seems like we are well positioned in 2020, then I'll probably have a couple more years of radio shows and so forth. If we're not, then I don't know. I'll have to make that assessment probably November of 2020. So you will hear more from me as we move forward. Because I am, I've told people before, I am going to begin filling sandbags and get all the materials necessary together for my reloading and so forth, because I'm not a surrenderer. I'm not going to surrender, but I know that the chances of survival are minuscule. So it's going to take possibly a miracle if we can't get Republic Review moving forward and actually take control of our own destiny and our own Constitution and our own Republic. With that, having taken a quick look in the news and so forth, it doesn't seem like, we'll get into some of it. We'll get into the marketing. But there's no sign that the federal government is going to disband and walk away from any of their unconstitutional, tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That means you and I, we're on the hook. We have to do this if we want to save our culture, save our Constitution, and our Republic, as well as our liberties and sovereignty. So we need you to get involved. And I know listening, tuning in is the first step. At least you're making a discerning effort in listening to what I say. And if what I'm saying makes sense over time, you will eventually, you know, somehow contribute. I know that people do something. And so in one way or the other, let me move forward. News, marketing, what can I say? As I was driving around this weekend, it just hit me that we have, you know, a new event, and it's a long sustained event has begun. And so it goes without saying that I'll put it into the metaphor, or I'll use the imagery of a circus. And this is going to be the largest circus on record, and it has just begun. This show will put to shame Caesar's Circus Maximus, and even all professional sports will be put to shame. If you started combining, you know, the NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, of America, the real professional sports that are these guys making billions of dollars industry, right? These guys are going to be put to shame with how much effort, energy, money, and everything else. Even though this may not be a real profiteering type of thing, I'm telling you, who's going to get rich are going to be the media. The media is going to get a lot of money over this. And this will be like a nonstop Super Bowl for the next 20 months. This is not a season. This is, it is a circus show that is going to go every day nonstop until November 2020. So you've probably figured it out. I am talking about our next national election. It is a circus, and I want you to keep that imagery in your head. If you can't tell, every nut grown on earth has almost stepped into the Democratic field. Well, except for maybe the biggest and oldest nut, and that's Crazy Joe, right? I mean, everybody's going, well, when's he going to make his move? It doesn't matter. He's the oldest nut. He's been a perennial candidate, except for the last 2016, right? He didn't throw his hat in the ring. That was the first time in how many years Crazy Joe wasn't on a ballot or trying to be on a ballot, right? It's been a long time. So it's just a matter of time, because everybody expects plugs to get in there. And so let me give you more context to this, because I've said this before. Folks, this is a civil war, and this war began back in the biblical beginning. And it is not a military war. It is an ideological war. That concept with Adam and Eve and his children, the first family and the first generations after him, began dividing over the ideologies that we are still struggling with today. The ideology of individual liberty and individual sovereignty versus the ideology of subjugation. I can't make it any more simpler than that. That's what we are dealing with. And as we have moved into the final stages of this civil war, I mean, the Bible tells us that, and anybody that is just familiar with what the heck's going on, this society cannot stand or cannot sustain itself in this direction. And I cannot say that the contrast and the acrimony has been even more stark ever in the history of man. I mean, it is that dramatic. So, I want to start today by asking you to take a gut check. Yeah, when's the last time you've done a gut check? Are you one of those who has let the, whether you've done this knowingly or unknowingly, have you let the ideology of subjugation into your tent? Have you actually accepted some of these concepts? Believe it or not, way too many people are absolutely clueless as to how they're embracing some of these tenets of subjugation, or let's just call it communism. Because if you look, it is rampant in American society. This goes to the heart of the modern day secularism, or what should be called godlessness. You see, the original use of secularism by our framers was really non-denominational Christianity. Were the framers open to all religions? No. As a matter of fact, every single state in the Union had bans on very specific religions. Jews were allowed to live here, but they were not allowed to openly practice their religion. Every state had a ban on Islam. Every state had a ban on Hinduism. Every state had a ban on Satan, Luciferianism, or whatever you want to call it. It was not allowed. And as a matter of fact, they would run you out, and you had no business being here. And that's where we got the Salem witch trials and so forth. Well, so I'm in another hard break. But when we come back, I want to check or finish this gut check with you so that we can kind of set the stage, and then we can get into some marketing. So anyway, I'm trying to set the tone for this week, and so we will be right back after a couple promos. So thank you very much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So let me get back to the heart of this problem. And this goes to where we are as a society in modern day. It's all about secularism, or what I should call, and what you should call, godlessness, because what we use the term non-denominational today was the use of secularism by the framers. So I want you to be very clear on this. I want you to understand that we have adopted the concept of separation of church and state, which is unconstitutional. The fact that the federal government has gone down this path of creating this concept of a separation of church and state has allowed them to actually violate the First Amendment by establishing a godlessness church. In other words, we're talking about secularism today is anti-Christianity. And what got me on this bent, or what got me on this rant, is I saw this Acomo, which is a Seattle television station production called Seattle Dying. I don't know if there's been one on San Francisco. I don't know if Detroit did one. I don't know if all of these other urban decay, blight, whatever you want to call them, all these super cities. I know that New York went through this, and New York's beginning to go through it now. Almost every city has been stricken by this anti-Christianity progressivism, and it is becoming a scourge on society. And I'm going to put the link up if you want to see an absolute, I want to use the term ignorant, but it's not. What they're doing in the host and the production of this show is completely ignoring the problem. They believe, and they've accepted this concept, that homelessness and drug abuse is a problem. It's just this problem that's popped up. No. It is a symptom to the problem. The problem is that we've become godless, and that the state is running around forcing us to be godless. You can't allow a nativity scene in elementary. We have gone out of our way to remove Christianity from our society. And that was the furthest thing from the framers' intent. The thing that made America great, according to Alexis de Tocqueville, was the fact that we had so few laws and our society was dependent on Christianity and the goodness of the people to keep their behavior in check. Which is why in early days America, throughout every single colony, which there were more people in the colonies of the Americas during the Revolutionary War, I believe we were around 3 million. If you add the slaves, it was probably about 4 million during the Revolutionary War in America. And we had less orphans in all of America than Paris alone. And we had a lot more people than Paris had. But that's because Paris was beating us to the punch of becoming secular and godless. They were just at the beginning of the throes of their own revolution, where they beheaded their monarchies. They beheaded every single one of the religious leaders. Had Sir Isaac Newton been alive, they would have beheaded him. And what a tragedy to science that would have been, huh? Fact of the matter is, this is where we are as a society. So if you've accepted ideas like federal welfare, federal housing, federal education, the money's behind all of these things, or let's say regulated energy, regulated environment, regulated retirement, your 401k, Social Security, federal regulated banking. How about federal disaster relief? Have you accepted federal social engineering or even criminal justice, letting them dictate what laws and, you know, how we're to behave? Then you may need to begin challenging your biases in supporting these notions, because I'm here to tell you, and if you've been listening to the show, the federal government has no constitutional power delegated to them to do any of these things. You see, our government was not left to design for itself what it wanted to do. What it was designed was a very limited role in supporting the states on things of an external nature, our foreign relations, fighting wars, and our external security. Our internal security, as I've gone through, and we'll get back into these, is the militia. We're violating the Constitution so badly with regards to the militia, it is pathetic. And so we have basically allowed them to go down this path of rewiring, reconfiguring, and doing anything that they want to do to us when we actually designed them to be limited, where we in the sovereign states could enjoy our liberties and be left alone by a centralized government. We didn't have a centralized government that fit all, if you understand what I'm saying. Even your state governments are limited to the delegated powers that the citizens of that state had actually delegated to them. And they've been able to sidestep these limitations in their constitution because they've claimed, and this is true, the general government unconstitutionally has mandated that they do certain things that they're not supposed to do. And they use this thing, well, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Well, that's true. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And those things within the Constitution are pursuant thereof, or in other words, are coming in lieu of these delegated powers, are supreme. And we have to do those things. Did we delegate environment, housing, welfare, healthcare, any of those things to them? No. And so when they come down and they dictate that you have to have Common Core and you have to do these things, or we're going to hurt you because they're taxes. You gotta understand this. They are taxing us incrementally and at a breakneck increasing speed that is making our heads spin. And then they come back and give us this little bit. And what they're doing is they're putting us in debt because they're spending more money, demanding us to do more things. Instead of teaching children how to think, they're programming children to behave a certain way. And that behavior is creating blight because these kids, they were recognizing people going into society, they don't have much of a choice. They don't see the opportunity. And so the only thing that they can enjoy that's free for them is committing crimes, taking drugs, checking out, and getting out of society. In some ways, these poor folks that are caught in this homelessness, drug crisis that America is being strapped with, it's almost like they're the revolutionaries, but they're killing themselves instead of revolting against the system, which is what they should be doing. And we've got to fix this problem. And the problem isn't a penal problem. The problem isn't a drug problem. As a matter of fact, if you go upstream and you start looking at where all these things are coming, all the drugs coming into this country, you could probably pin all on China. They're running all of this and through the Central American with the cocaine and that type of stuff, because they don't grow cocaine very well in China. But they're doing really well in harvesting and manufacturing heroin. And as a matter of fact, it's ironic that the nation that replaced the British Empire is being leveraged the same way the British Empire and what do they call it, the East Indies Trading Company, held China at bay and forced heroin down their throat. So they're doing the exact same thing to us. They're playing the exact same game, and they're using Mexico and enriching those specific players. I mean, if the people of Mexico would wake up and understand what the heck they're doing, they're becoming rich at their expense, and they're being held in check. Mexico, you've got to wake up. You don't want to come here. Take your own land back and take your government back and start using the examples of the principles that you actually took from us in our Constitution. Every single Latin American state took from us our Constitution so that they could try to govern themselves the same way. And they abjectly failed because of the machinations and the evil designs of whether it be American and global politicians trying to move us towards this progressive globalist society and so forth. I mean, Wilson was the first that tried to create globalism with the League of Nations. The United Nations wasn't even a pipe dream yet. It wasn't even a glimmer in FDR's eyes because Wilson had it all figured out, but it didn't go to plan because they hadn't finished changing our culture. at that point in time, there was still enough of America that wanted to be free that they couldn't get away with it. So they had to wait for FDR to reinvent it. That's why I keep saying, if you think that some of these ideas that are being fielded are going to go away, you're sadly mistaken. Just like Hillary Care didn't really go away, we just call it Obamacare today. Those concepts are being pounded and driven, and we are on a path of communism, whether you like it or not. And it looks like my dialogue is not, I haven't even had a chance to get into the news yet. So please stay tuned, and hopefully when we get back, I'll be able to finish this up and dive into the news. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, as I was just saying, I really do need to have stretch this show out. Because when I sit down and try to plan out an hour, I end up running out of time because there's just a lot of things to put into this. There's a lot of meat here. And anybody that has been listening to this show for the past year knows that our constitutions are compacts, whether they're compacts of the multiple states that are a party to it. And most people think it's we the people that created the state constitutions. Most states were actually formed or reformed at the beginning of this constitutional experiment in 1789 by the counties, and the citizens of the counties were broken down as sub-elements of this new republic called a state. So each of the states had constitutions, and each of the states were very similar to where the counties were the driving factors, and that's why each state has senates. We've gone through all of this. That's why the senates are supposed to be representing the interests of the counties, which are different. You may have a coastal county, and you may have a mountain county, and you may have a prairie or pasture, agricultural county, timber county, you know, fishing. The interests are different. And so that they understood the importance of maintaining the representation of those different elements of the state. So that representation begot these constitutions. By the time most of the Western states were stood up, we had already completely forgot our genealogy and our DNA of republicanism. And everything was based on we the people and a democracy. And that's how we started, you know, abandoning these concepts because, oh, well, we can just vote these things. However, even in the Western states, most of the Western states' compacts or constitutions still held limited powers. So when all of a sudden the federal government started creating the environmental protection agencies, they mandated that every state start having a bureaucracy that they could work with to ensure state compliance. And that's why there's no change to the constitution of the state. It became an unconstitutional bureaucracy that was in every single state. So the constitutions at every level are being broken. So this goes down to this little catalyst that I started last week. And I don't have the time to really finish what I really want to talk about. I'm going to actually start to getting into the marketing. But I want to tie together for everybody the importance, why Jefferson and Madison attempted to call for republic review. They didn't use these words. What they tried to do was they tried to unite the states once again to step in and reprimand the federal government for violating the Constitution by trying to regulate speech and immigration and so forth, those four acts that came with the Sedition Act. So the whole point is that we're in a situation where this week we'll be facing the resolutions of hate, where almost all of, I think it was unanimous, only 15 non-players, or they just voted present instead of actually voting no against it. There was no dissenting support against the hate, this hate resolution that, you know, kind of rolled through. But the whole point is that Congress has no power to regulate speech, and they did the exact same thing that was done in 1798. They stepped on the First Amendment by saying that you have no business saying these things, anti-Islamophobia, are you kidding me? I could go on and on about the evils of Islam, but I've got to do this show, and this is about our Constitution and our Republic. I can go on and on about the evils of secularism, but this show is about the Constitution and getting it back, and I'm just using the evils of these doctrines of subjugation, because that's what they are. These are doctrines of subjugation. They have no place here. We have no reason to allow them to get a foothold here. And so going back to this show on Seattle dying and our major cities dying from godlessness and secularism, it is because subjugationism, communism, has gotten a foothold into every facet of our society. And these are the rewards we reap when we allow ourselves to no longer be responsible for our liberties and no longer accountable for our actions and are responsible for our actions as well because of our liberties. We're allowing government to dictate so much of our lives, and they have no business doing so. So let me dive. That's me going, and I'm diving into some marketing, and I'm going to try to connect these things. But as a follow-up to my interview with Orlean, if you remember, as a matter of fact, actually, I'm going to put that story on hold. Let me actually go down this path of Trump's veto, because that's kind of probably the biggest bubbling up news that everybody's talking about. And let me remind you again, the constitutional position on this is this. Article 4 in the Constitution guarantees that not only are the states supposed to be Republican in form, but the United States government guarantees that they will protect us from an invasion. And the federal government has failed to do so. Congress has abdicated their responsibility and allowed politics and or inaction to be the solution. And I have no idea why Republicans are allowing this, because this bodes strictly in benefit to the Republic, or I should say the Democrats, because the folks that are coming here are all about subjugation and they want to make sure that we can't do anything about it so that they can start locking us up. I am telling you that Article 4 is being violated. Congress has failed to do their job in protecting us. The President of the United States has responsibility to faithfully execute the laws of the land. And we are supposed to be protected from an invasion. And if Congress takes no action, after how many decades we've been dealing with this since Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, we have had nothing but inaction and only amnesty as a solution under Reagan, but they were going to fix it and they didn't. And that is by design. This has been a methodical invasion. Nonetheless, it is an invasion. Even if it is by thousands a month, it is still an invading force. And they have failed to live up to their obligation under their oath of supporting the Constitution. And when Congress and the Senate voted to chastise the president for violating the Constitution, oh, the hypocrisy rang in the halls of Congress. And so I am the advocate, because I'm not an advocate for the Department of Justice, but because it's an unconstitutional department. However, I think we need to use the Department of Justice to remove every single one of these guys, even Rand Paul, even Tom Lee. All of these guys need to be removed. I don't care how good they are. They need to be removed from office. And this is why. Because they are just as guilty by actually voting for and allowing this reprimand to occur. So, President Trump, if you're listening, you need to use the Department of Justice and remove every single one of these sods from, or dolts is a better term, remove every single one of these dolts from their congressional seats, send them back to their states, and ban them from public service according to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Get the states to replace them. So you're going to have to now announce a national emergency number 2 on the heels of your first national emergency. We have no Congress because we will have so few people left in Congress. This is one way to drain the swamp, folks. We'll have so few left that the states will have to move quickly to reseat new people. And if they want those people to be free to serve in public service again, if California really wants to have Nancy Pelosi, then they will need 2/3 of the new Congress to allow them back into public service. And I'm a betting man on this because I don't bet, but I'm going to bet on this one. I will bet that these new dolts that they're going to send from the states that are going to be sitting in their new powerful Senate seats, that are going to be sitting in their new powerful congressional seats and go for re-election either this year or in 2020. This circus is going to get huge if he does this. But what'll happen is these folks that will replace almost all of Congress will not vote to allow these people to return to public service ever again. Because why? This is a blessing in disguise, because now they have unfettered access to these seats of power and what these other folks have been doing. Why would they give that up and allow them to come back and compete against them for their seat? I'll bet you if Trump did this, it would drain the swamp, it would change the paradigm, and he might actually get those folks that will support his building the wall, support us from this invasion, because we have been under an invasion and there is no other definition for this. This is an invasion, folks. And I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. God bless, and we'll be back.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.